Vasudevaya.
Okay, we're still reading through the description of the four Kumaras seeing Vaikuntha. There was this Indiraya Utsmitam Garbha, that the pride of the goddess of fortune, it's defeated by the beauty of Krishna's, of Lord Narayan's body. Or else, Lord Narayan is advertising or exalting the glory of the goddess of fortune by this beauty. Okay, then a Purvapaksha comes up. This is 78.12. Nanu evam bhutasya lakshmiya api rahasya maha nidhi rupasya paramavastunaha katam prakashak sambhavati iti ata aha mahyamiti. The question is, but how can an entity like this, the most secret treasure, even for the goddess of fortune, ever become visible, Lord Narayan? How can he become visible? Even the goddess of fortune has to endeavor to get his favor. She's a great mystery even. He's a great mystery even for her. How can he be visible? This is answered by the words beginning Mahyam. Let's find the verse beginning Mahyam. Well, I'll go back there and find it.
315.42.
Well, 315.42, second part. Well, Maya Bhavasya Bhavatam Jabajantam Ambam Nemur Nidiksha Navitripta Drisho Mudakai My dear demigods, the Lord who thus manifested himself is worshipable by me, that is Brahma talking, by Lord Shiva, and by all of you demigods. The sages regarded him with unsated eyes and joyously bowed their heads at his lotus feet. Anyway, that Lord Narayan is worshipable by all the demigods. Okay, what do we say? Okay, Jiva Goswami's explanation. Mad adinam bhaktanam prite ambam bhajatam murtim prakatayam tam. He was assuming his body, but doesn't he always eternally have a body? Well, assuming his body means, because it says ambam bhajatam. That means that he's taking a body, but he doesn't take it, he always has it. So taking his body means displaying his personal form. Sometimes he doesn't show it. So he shows it, that's understood in terms of his assuming the body, but he has the body always. And he's assuming his body or displaying his personal form for the sake of such devotees as myself. Like myself and Brahma and Shiva and other demigods. And that amounts to saying that he, Narayan, was agreeing to accept us and agreeing to display his form. That's how he becomes visible. He kindly agrees to do that.
visit.
Asmad vishayakam angikaram dajantam ityartha. Ulangita trivedasima samatushai sambhavanam tava parivraduma swabhavam maya valena bhavatapi niguhyamanam pashyanti kechid anisham twad ananya bhava iti vat. That's like stated in the verse. Okay, what's the verse from? 255. Really? Stotravatna of Yamunacharya? I think so. But Yamunacharya prays. Lamita Trisi is how it says. Where's the translation? Some who love you and nothing else incessantly see your most exalted true nature, which exceeds all possibility of being excelled in terms of the three kinds of limit, and which you hide by the power of your maya. Three kinds of limit. Well, there's limit of time, limit of space, and limit of one thing is not another thing. You like salty food, someone gives you a sweet ball. Sorry, it's not salty. You're not going to find the quality of salt in the sugar. So one thing is not another, that's a limitation. You want one thing, someone gives you something else, the wrong thing. And there's limitations of time and of space. Something at the wrong time, or something in the wrong place. There's no possibility of you being excelled in terms of the three kinds of limit. No one's better than you in terms of time and space or identity. And your nature you hide by the power of your maya. Okay. What's being said in this verse is that not everybody can see you, but your devotees who love you and nothing else can see you because you reveal yourself to them. And there's also a statement, ityadi shrute, bhaktir evainam nayati, bhaktir evainam darshayati. Such statements of Shruti as devotional service alone brings one to him. And devotional service alone reveals him. Niriksha tata bhutam tam achakshata. The verse, the next verse says that they saw him, tam achakshata. The four Kumaris saw Narayan like that. They saw him who was like this. And then Niriksha Chamuda Kai Shiro Bi Nemuhu. And while looking at him, moreover, they with joy bowed their heads to the ground. Not out of fear or obedience, but out of joy, they bowed their heads to the ground. Nabisheshena Tripta Dusho Netrani Yesham Te. And their sight, their eyes, were not especially satiated. Vitripta Dusho Navitripta Vasho Navisheshena Tripta Vasho Navitripta Dusho, what it says. So Vitripta is, this is interpreted here as especially satisfied. So, not very much satisfied. Not satisfied enough. They didn't get enough, they wanted more. To see him more. Their eyes wanted more. Okay, here's a commentary. The words beginning, Mahyam, are the second half of the verse that began, Akropa Krishna. Lakshmi is the only person in Vaikuntha related to the Supreme Lord in the most intimate rasa of conjugal love. Okay, nobody else has a conjugal relationship with Narayan and Vaikuntha but Lakshmi. Yet even to his consort Lakshmi, he is in many ways mysterious. How then, if knowledge of him is such a confidential secret, how can everyone in Vaikuntha see him? He must be invisible, and some mysterious spirit that they worship but don't see. But how do they see him? They do. This is his causeless compassion. He agrees to reciprocate with devotees who have all different varieties of love for him, not just Lakshmi. And in fact, he desires and relishes that variety. Describing Lord Narayan as Angam Bhajantam, assuming form, does not mean that he previously was without any form. It means rather that now he is displaying that form for the visiting sages. Like he came forward and showed his form. Not that he didn't have one. You know, he was actually formless, but he mystically showed a form to satisfy the sages. No, he has the form, but they never saw it before. So he came, he walked there on his feet, you know, no mysterious process, he walked there on his feet and showed himself, that's all. In the material world, he displays his personal form, but in the spiritual world, it is always invisible, In the material world, he displays his personal form rarely, but in the spiritual world, it is always visible, except when he is intentionally absent to make his devotees more eager to see him. Sri Yamunacharya, in his prayer from Stotravatna, says that the transcendental personality of his worshipable Lord Narayan cannot be excelled in any way, because he, Narayan, has no limits in the dimensions of time and space. And in the third dimension of Swarupa, or identity, nothing is distinct from him. So there's no limit because there is nothing that is separate from him. Nothing is distinct from him because everything that exists emanates from him. Only his devotees can see the Supreme Lord's eternal form. The perfect devotees see him directly with their eyes. Devotees practicing meditation see him in their hearts. And beginners in devotional service see him as the deity in the temple. So all the devotees get to see him one way or another. But non-devotees, even if they have good eyesight, even if they visit a temple of the Supreme Lord, or even if they're expert in yoga discipline, cannot recognize him. The Kumaras could not see enough of the Lord. They were certainly delighted and satisfied, but they wanted more and more of this experience. The words Tam Achakshata, they saw him. Let me add the word him because Tam is there. Mentioned here are from the first verse of the description of what the Kumaras saw when the Lord appeared before them. But that verse has already been described, explained above in paragraphs 8 and 9. Okay, so we'll move on. Questions? Any questions? Yes.
Here you mentioned only his devotees can see the Supreme Lord's eternal form.
Yes.
So, I have a question. How then Duryodhana saw, a couple of times he saw Krishna. Duryodhana, he wasn't a devotee, so.
Well, that means he was actually a devotee. But he was a devotee in Maya. Duryodhana in the end was saved. Because he was actually, and so was Dhritarashtra, they're actually Krishna's associates. But, you know, he had envy for Krishna's great devotees, and therefore he became the demon, the evil person in the pastime. But Krishna, he wouldn't have had Krishna's association, he wouldn't have seen Krishna. It's not like some complete materialist who Krishna could have walked right past him and he wouldn't have known that Krishna was anything special. But he knew. Duryodhana knew that Krishna was God. But he hated the Pandavas so much that he couldn't cooperate with Krishna. But you can't know that Krishna is God unless you're some kind of devotee.
Lord Chaitanya was walking on the street and so many people are watching.
So the ignorant materialists don't recognize him. Just like the cats and dogs don't recognize him. They're not devotees, but they're people like, you know, like associates who are playing the roles of demons. Jagannamadai, they're actually associates of the Lord. They were saved and they recovered their eternal position in the Lord's association. Tathagata Swarupam. Bhishma Dev doesn't just say that they got liberation, but they attained their Swarupas. That means to attain your Swarupa, if we take what Bhishma Dev says literally, that means they attained the love of God. No one who doesn't have prema can have his Swarupa. You know, it's like you have to, before they give you a driving license, you have to know how to park the car and not bump into anything. They give you a test. So the test for getting your Swarupa is you have to have, where's your prema? Show your prema, then we'll give you your Swarupa. And everybody who died, killed by Arjuna, not killed by Krishna, but killed by Arjuna, in the presence of Krishna, they all, Bhishma says they got their Swarupas. It doesn't mean that they were all eternal associates. They became, you know, they became Siddha by special mercy. Some of them are associates and others just got special mercy and were liberated and went to Vaikuntha, even though they didn't earn it by any sadhana and they weren't devotees before.
This means that because you know, immediately Krishna came from everybody who visits us,
everybody has the Siddhas Rupa.
Everybody actually devotes it because of the special mercy.
See, ordinary people are devotees of Krishna, but they never meet Krishna, they never hear of Krishna, and they die, and they just take another birth, heaven or hell. But those who actually see Krishna, that means they're special people. The people who even saw Krishna, what to speak of, had some personal contact with him. Probably they were already devotees in a past life in some way to get that privilege. But Krishna can give out special mercy even to those who don't deserve it. But that's different than an average person who's theoretically Krishna's devotee, but he just wastes one lifetime after another doing no Krishna consciousness. And for hundreds and thousands of years, doesn't get liberated.
So we can assume that
thousands of lifetimes, rather. Yeah.
We can assume that it must be an especially Krishna's arrangement to gather all together all these kings in the particular Kurukshetra.
Yeah.
That there must be special souls.
Yeah, special souls.
Okay, thank you. Another question. Lord Narayana cannot be excelled in any way because he has no limit. The dimension of time and space. How to understand it? What does it mean? He has no limit and therefore nobody cannot accept him.
Nobody can.
Cannot accept him.
Okay, nobody else has no limit. Only the Supreme Lord encompasses everything and goes beyond everything. Everybody else has got their limits. All the demigods, Brahma and Shiva including, they have their limits. Time, space, and identity. They're not everything, and they're not everywhere, and they're not all the time everywhere. Okay. It doesn't say that the other forms of Vishnu are limited, but the demigods are limited and all the other living entities are limited. Okay, continuing. Yes, question.
Is there that there is a popular saying that we are created according to the image of God, and but from the Vedas we hear that Krishna's original form is the divine form, which is a human form.
Yes.
So I get confused whether that human form is Krishna's form or is the form that is assumed by the human being originally.
It's confusing that we're all created in God's image and Krishna looks like a human being.
Yeah, he said that Krishna appeared.
Well, that is not something that can be understood logically, that Krishna is the original, but he seems to be imitating us. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what confuses me.
You know, that even when you go to Goloka, beyond Vaikuntha, and you visit the Gokula, the Vrindavan part of it, not Mathura city, but the cowherd pastures of Nanda Maharaj, in the spiritual world, it looks like northern India. Sanatana Goswami comments that Goloka, Vrindavan part of Goloka, looks like it was northern India, and there were just human beings walking around. But actually, that's the original perfection. And northern India is something of an imitation of Goloka, in the sense that people are tending cows and people have two arms and so on. The original is Krishna's manifestation in the spiritual world, and what we see in the material world, in human society and in cow-herding society, is just an imitation of that. It looks to us like the other way around, but it's not.
So why don't you just say then Krishna appeared in his original form? Why do we say Krishna appeared in a human form?
It is said that he appeared in his original form. In the Bhagavatam it's said many times. Yeah, that Krishna's form is the original form. And Brahma Samhita is said. And Adya Govinda, the cause of all causes, is Govinda. And many prayers offered to Krishna in the Bhagavatam where that's confirmed, that Krishna's two-arm form is the original form. But it seems otherwise to almost everybody. Most Vaishnavas think that Narayan is the original and Krishna is an expansion. But the fact, the reality, is a mystery that only some devotees understand. That Krishna is the original form. Okay? Yeah? That's not being discussed here. That Krishna is original and not Narayan. That we'll see when we get to the Krishna Sandarbha. That's what the Krishna Sandarbha is about. We're talking about just Narayan here anyway. Yes?
I have to compare what you're doing with this question.
But that's what the envious demons think. Buddha, they think I've assumed a human form. Avyaktim vyaktam apana manyate mama buddhaya. People who are stupid, they think that I was impersonal, now I've become personal. So that's just describing it from the viewpoint of the Buddhas and the Abhutis. Yeah, this is the insult. That, the Supreme is assumed human form. It's an insult to Krishna, as Avajananti, they insult me by thinking that I've assumed this form.
Well, another was a
phrase it like that. Param Brahma Manushulingam.
Yeah, so how we can explain this?
It's what it looks like in the pastimes. And Krishna says that about himself sometimes, but it's part of the pastime to pretend that the Absolute Truth has become as imitating a human being. Marja Vidambanam. Imitation of ordinary earthly activities. That's the pleasure of the pastime, to sometimes think that it's an imitation, but it's not really. Okay, we'll try the next paragraph. Tasya. The next verse begins Tasya. What's the verse number? 3:15:43. 3:15. Tasya Aravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda Kinja Pramishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayu Antargata Swabhivirena Chakaratesha Samshobham Akshara Dusham Apichitta Tanvo. This is how the Kumaras became devotees. When the breeze carrying the aroma of tulsi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead entered the nostrils of those sages, they experienced a change both in body and in mind. And even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. Okay, now discussing that verse. And we're going to Tikacha. Here is the commentary on this by Sridhar Swami. It reads, Surupanandadapi Tesham Bhajan Ananda. There's a mistake here in the transliteration. I have Ananda, but it's Ananda, I'm sure. Bhajanandadikyam aha. Tasya Padaravinda Kinjal Kaik Keshurayur Mishraya Tulasi Tasya Makarandena Yukto Yo Vayuhu. He describes the ecstasy. I have to read the rest of the sentence. Yo Vayuhu Swavivirena Nasa Chitrena Akshara Jusham Brahmananda Sevi Namapi Samshobham Chitte Itiharsham Tanau Romansham Ityesha. Okay, this gives gloss on several phrases. The air which carried the sap of the tulsi plant. See, the word is makaranda, which actually means the juice of a plant, the sap. Mixed with the filaments. The filament means the saffron-like strands from his lotus feet. Entering their by their own apertures, what apertures? It says vivarena, by the holes, their own holes. That means their nostrils, the openings of their noses. The air is carrying the sap of the tulsi plants mixed with the filaments, the saffron-like strands from his lotus feet. Strands of saffron on lotus feet. Padaravinda. Oh, because his feet are lotuses. Lotuses have filaments. I was wondering why does he strands or filaments on his feet? Because they're lotuses. Figurative lotuses. So you get this smell of the sap from the tulsi plant. And this, the saffron-like filaments on the lotus feet that entered their nostrils, created agitation. Agitation, what does that mean? Extreme delight. Bhajanana, no. Atiharsha, extreme delight. The word in the verse is samkshobham, but it doesn't mean some negative kind of agitation. Get angry or something else. No, it means that in their hearts they experience extreme delight. In the hearts of them who took pleasure in the infallible. They were accustomed to being delighted just by meditating on Brahman. The infallible, in other words, who were servants of the bliss of Brahmananda. Brahmananda Sevina, servants of the servants or partakers of the ecstasy of Brahmananda. I'm going to change that. Servants of the bliss of Brahman. It really means seva is like prasad seva. You're honoring it or you're partaking of it. So who were, I'm going to say instead, accustomed. How do you spell accustomed? Accustomed to partaking of the bliss of Brahman. That's Brahmananda Sevina. Those Kumaras. But all of a sudden they're experiencing a new kind of bliss just by letting this fragrance enter their nostrils. And it made the hair on their bodies stand on end. Tanau Romancham, also in the verse. That's what Sridhar Swami has to say. Atra parayor aravinda kinjata mishra. Ya tulasi iti vyakyayam. This can be taken to mean that the tulsi leaves on his two feet were mixed with filaments of lotus flowers. Where's the lotus from? From feet that are just figuratively flowers? No, there were actually, Jiva Swami says we should understand this to mean there actually were some lotus petals on the feet together with the tulsi leaves. And the smell of the two combined is what the Kumaras experienced. With the understanding that on that occasion, there were lotus filaments and tulsi present in his flower garland. So they had fallen off the garland, the lotus petals and the tulsi leaves, and were on his feet. Aravinda kinjapa tulasyao chatatanim vanamalas tite eva gyeye. Astu tavad bhagavadatma bhutanam tesham ambo parandaranam teshukshova karitvam. Tat sambandhi sambandino vayur abhiti bhavaha. So we can conclude. With the understanding, and it further implies, what to speak of the sage is becoming agitated by seeing the limbs and other parts of the body of the Lord. Even the wind making contact with these limbs had this effect on them. Even if they hadn't seen him, even if they just had been further away, and he wasn't visible, just if that smell had reached them, that would have transformed them. Okay, now I want to read the commentary. There's discussion about the different kinds of ananda, bhajanananda and brahmananda. They were previously experiencing brahmananda, but now they're experiencing an excess of bhajanananda. Okay. Sarupananda is the joy the finite soul feels on realizing his own real identity. In truth, he is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. But on this immature level of Sarupananda realization, the jiva cannot distinguish well between the finite and the infinite souls. More advanced souls who have entered the path of pure devotional service experience bhajanananda, the bliss the finite soul feels in serving the Supreme Soul. Bhajana is nothing like impersonal meditation. It is a personal reciprocation between two persons, the worshipper and the worshipped. And it is, properly speaking, only worship of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, not of any lesser person. The verse explained here says, poetically, that Lord Narayan's feet are lotus flowers, and there are filaments growing from them. The Supreme Lord's feet are not literally flowers, however, and they do not have filaments. Actually, as Srila Jiva Goswami suggests, Lord Narayan was wearing a garland. that included lotus flowers and tulsi leaves, some of which had fallen on his feet. Seeing Lord Narayan from some feet away, the Kumaras touched him only indirectly by being, they didn't actually touch him, they saw him, but they couldn't touch him, he was too far away. But they touched him indirectly by being touched by the wind that passed over his feet. And that was enough to stimulate ecstasy in them. They were very impressed by seeing the beauty of the Lord, but the second impression received by another sense, smell, was the impulse that all at once transformed the sages into loving devotees. Okay, any questions on that? Yes.
Would you mention here that Swarupananda is the joy, the fire, sure, it is on realization, it's on reality. So mm-hmm. I heard that Jiva is Swarup the Krishna with us, so how can I understand?
Yes. The impersonalists, their Swarupananda is incomplete. They may understand that they're spirit souls, but they don't understand that they're Krishna's servants. So they're getting a diluted version of Swarupananda, 5%, 10% dilution, diluted. The devotees who do realize that they are Krishna's servants, they're the only ones who are experiencing complete Swarupananda.
What is the difference between Bhajanandi and Goshanandi?
Well, when Goshanandi is a devotee who likes to engage in some kirtan with other devotees and likes to preach, that's a Goshanandi. One who wants to help others by preaching is a Goshanandi. Really means one who likes company. Doesn't like to be by himself, but likes company. He likes company so much, he has to go out and make more devotees so he has more company. That's a Goshanandi. Goshanandi is also a Bhajanandi. You know, unless he's not practicing Krishna consciousness in a balanced way. He's trying to preach and he has no sadhana, that's not right. He should have a strong sadhana, and he should also be a Bhajanandi.
So, what is the
Mura Bhava ISKCON? ISKCON is a Goshtanandi society. There may be a few Bhajanandis, but they're not really in the spirit of the movement. We have our Bhajana, but we're only completely happy when there's expansion of the ocean of bliss. We're not happy enough just to save ourselves. That should be the mood of ISKCON. Otherwise, Prabhupada could have saved himself and stayed in Vrindavan. Yes?
But Tulsi Devi, usually we put Tulsi in the list of the people who sit on the deities. So, how do you understand that Krishna always has Tulsi Devi?
Well, maybe sometimes the leaves don't fall off. I don't know if he always has to have a leaf on his foot.
Okay, that's my conclusion.
Yeah.
And also, about Tulsi Devi, you know the Tulsi, she is a very great Tulsi for Krishna. It looks like a very special suggestion that she also has
consciousness. She is conscious and she can infect others with her consciousness.
Yes.
I don't know if the Kumaras received that. I don't know if they perceived it.
Mm-hmm.
They perceived the smell. And because it's connected with Vishnu, it's Nudipana. Just the smell. even apart from any personal association with Tulsi, just to smell the leaves is an Udipana that will awaken love of God. Whether they also had some personal, you know, reciprocation with Tulsi Devi herself, maybe, but not necessarily. It's not required. Just smelling that fragrance is enough to change somebody, or change someone who's receptive.
What discussion was the greatness how one was raised by the voice or just touching that built the voice and this contact he used to become the voice. So maybe because this contact is still very true here, Boba, and they became the voice.
Okay. Anyway, many people become purified by serving, doing some service to Tulsi Devi. Contact is not just touching. The actual association with devotees means to serve them, to hear from them and serve them, not just bump into them. You know, not just physically touch them. But those, especially Tulsi Devi, is served by many people in India, you know, in the south. You know, many people have Tulsi in their yards and they water the Tulsi. They may not have any Krishna consciousness, but they're becoming very purified by that.
Because in Bhagavad Gita, there are so many statements that even if one touches Tulsi Devi or
yes. There's the potency, yeah, of the pure devotee.
All those questions, because it looks like that they just saw Krishna, it was very impressive for them because they saw his unity, they were very impressive, but they became devotees only when they saw.
Okay, well, this is a valid interpretation, but it's, you know, Jiva Goswami is reading it another way. I mean, your way sounds right, but he was saying that, like, it took two impressions to push them over. They were half won over by seeing. When they smelled, that was, you know, that was enough to push them over the edge. The combined experience of two senses.
So, about the senses of smell, what was it? He gave, I don't know, from your interpretation, but the sense of smell is really subtle, and it's somehow connected with how previous birds, one way, just enter the temple and this aroma of incense of flowers, and then immediately he can remember about his past activities in the ocean sense, because it's somehow it's very connected with how previous birds.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. He can get this interpretation.
Well, smell is very subtle, so it's okay, but the most subtle sense is sound. You know, what will awaken an unconscious person is not so much a smell, but a sound. You know, that's how you wake people up from sleep, you know, because the ear remains, the sense of hearing remains active even in sleep. Other senses are sleeping. So, if you want to give an example of a sense that is so subtle that it will transform a person, you know, bring back spiritual memories. It's like we don't practice smell therapy, we practice sound therapy. Yeah. Because it's more potent. Okay. Yes? Their lotus feet, even when petals, leaves, yeah, lotus petals don't fall on them. It's not by contact with a real lotus flower that his feet become lotus feet. Lotus is the symbol of supreme beauty. is the most beautiful thing in the world. And the Lord's, the different parts of the Lord's body, his eyes, his feet, his hands, are more beautiful than anything you can imagine. The best we can do to describe them is call them like lotuses, beautiful like lotuses. When you have a comparison, there's always a spoken or implied samanya dharma, a point of comparison, a quality that's shared. The quality that's shared that makes Krishna's feet lotus feet is the beauty that they share, the incomparable beauty that's compared to a lotus. Anything else you could point to, you know, some other thing, you could say that's beautiful, but someone will say, oh, I know something even better than that. But once you point out the beauty of the lotus, nobody can find anything better in the material world. So that incomparable beauty is the quality that's evoked by calling it a lotus foot, or a lotus hand, or a lotus eyes.
Is there no connection with the smell?
Not
only for beauty.
Not, well, that's basic, yeah, that's what makes the feet lotus feet, is the beauty of them and attractiveness. It's not defined in terms of smell. Smell is also there, but that's not the defining factor.
I heard when spatial fragrance comes from Krishna's body.
Yeah, okay. But, okay, yeah, we hear that, but we don't hear that as an explanation why. And if it comes from his whole body, then his whole body's
you know, we can understand, you know, he's moving.
Yes?
Means, he can, like all our senses can engage in him.
Yes.
Means we have noticed someone's one great sense in our body, so we can smell him, you know, his body.
Yes.
So means there is a smell in his body.
Oh, definitely there is. Definitely there is. But this is experienced when one is that, when love of God is actually awakening. When one has rati, actual personal attraction to Krishna, then the transcendental senses awaken. Before that, we're engaging our material senses in his service and they're gradually becoming awakened when we don't have rati. And even on that level, even on the level of lack of transcendental attraction, we're still talking about lotus feet. The people who don't have spiritual senses awakened, they can understand the idea of lotus feet because they know what a lotus is like. And so it's a, for them it's a poetic comparison. For the devotees who have attained actual attraction to Krishna, which is a very advanced stage, then their spiritual senses awaken and they actually smell and they actually see. But the rest of us don't. And the poets are helping us by talking about lotus feet and lotus eyes. It means different things to those who are spiritually awake and who aren't yet spiritually awake.
It means between lotus and feet, samanadhikarana is beauty.
Basically, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Incomparable beauty. Many things are beauty in a relative sense. You know, to the pig in the gutter, his wife is very beautiful. You know, but that's relative beauty. Yes. Anything else? Okay. Well, please.
About how we can experience this use of Krishna or like the level of Raj. Does it mean that before this level, for example, when we take we cannot actually experience the real pleasure of the sun because it's
we get small traces of it. Even a neophyte devotee is experiencing some traces of attraction. But it's the intensity and completeness of it is not there. Yes.
How Krishna is completely himself through some of the senses that towards he paints completely because of the ecstasy. Then he awakens and Krishna is
Yes.
They will say, he gave great autographs, and then Krishna gave this to all the senses altogether.
Yes. Yes, it's described like that. It sounds like you're reading out of Madhurya Kadambini. Yeah, that's exactly how Vishnu Chakravarti describes it, but that's very advanced devotion. Okay, we're out of time, so we'll stop for today. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.